When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
The reality we live in can be a very strange place. Most of the time, fact being stranger than fiction. How will we ever start to understand this reality we live in unless we question everything? Join me and a guest as we unravel the mysteries of this reality, one topic at a time. This is Inquiries of Our Reality with Shane Jones.
Hey guys, and welcome to another story-filled episode of Inquiries of Our Reality, number 92 to be exact. I'm your host Shane, as always, and thanks for tuning in. But before we get into this wonderful, wonderful interview I have for you guys today, if you guys don't mind leaving a rating or review on Apple or Spotify, I would definitely appreciate it. It's a way for the show to get out into the world for other people to be able to see, check it out, and it'll help the show to grow. And another good way that you can also help the show to grow is by sharing it with a friend by word of mouth. That's definitely a huge, huge way to help the show grow. So if you know anybody that's into any of these weird topics that I happen to talk about, just drop the name, Inquiries of Our Reality. Like, hey man, you seem to be a very inquisitive person about this reality. I know a perfect show for you, Inquiries of Our Reality. That's all you got to do, quick and simple. And if you want to pop up and have a cool conversation with me or get some updates on the show, the best way to do that is through social media. I'm the most active on Instagram, so if you want to come and follow on Instagram, that'd probably be your best way to get a hold of me. You can also come and hang out in the Discord or the Telegram and have some interesting conversations with some interesting people sharing some interesting ideas. And of course, I'm popping in there and sharing my weird and interesting ideas with you guys too. So yeah, definitely go and check that out. If you haven't already checked out Bizarre Encounters, which is the other show that I do with Ghost that pertains specifically to the paranormal, aliens, cryptids, all that stuff specifically, definitely go and check that out. Do yourself a favor. I think you'll definitely enjoy that show if you enjoy this show, especially the shows that seem to pertain to those topics. But if you want to check out everything I do, I put everything under one umbrella. It's all Open Minds Media. With that is this show, of course, Bizarre Encounters, Big Dumb Inquiries, and Bite Size Bizarreties, which is my little solo show. I figured the easiest way, instead of saying, oh, I do four shows and possibly even five in the future, who knows, because who knows when I'll stop doing shows. I just figured it'd be easier to just tell people, go and check out Open Minds Media. So if you're doing that already, you can go and check out the Patreon. Just like I was saying, I put everything under one umbrella, so rather than you getting one show for Patreon, you get four shows. Put it all under as Open Minds Media Patreon. That's where you'll get early access to this show. You'll also get access to live episodes of the show. There's some extra bonus stuff on there. There's some giveaways, a bunch of really cool stuff. So definitely go and check out the new Patreon tiers that I've added relatively recently. There's a $3, $5, a $10, and a $20 tier. So whatever happens to spark your interest, you know, come and check it out. And if you want to support the show in a different way, you can always donate through Ko-fi or Anchor. Anchor is the RSS host for the show, so the best way to go and do that is to go all the way down to the bottom of the show description, and there will be a little thing that says support on Anchor. Click that, and you can support the show in any way that you see fit. And no matter what way you see fit, I definitely appreciate it. Another way that you can donate is through Venmo or Cash App or PayPal. I do have all of those set up. Quick and easy for that. If you want to donate a couple bucks for me to get some kombucha or something to drink on the show, definitely would appreciate it and get rid of the cotton mouth that I frequently tend to have on the show from talking a little bit too much. But hey, that's where you guys are here to hear me talk a little bit too much sometimes. But hey, hopefully you guys enjoy it. And if you want to get yourself some awesome merch, I do also have the Open Minds Media store set up. There you will find merch for all of the shows that I do and Open Minds Media if you're interested in getting yourself some Open Minds Media merch. That way you can kind of incorporate everything I do all into one. I spend a lot of time on the logo. I think it's pretty sweet. I wear it. So up to you guys. If you guys think it's cool, go and check it out. And while you're checking that out, definitely go and check out my boy Joe over at Cryptoteology. He's got some really, really awesome designs all pertaining to cryptids, bunch of parodies of different cryptid things. I've talked about him on the show. I'm sure you guys are probably annoyed of me talking about him so much, and I'm always posting his shirts, but if you haven't already checked it out, definitely go check out Cryptoteology. And if you just want a rough idea of some of the designs that he does, you can definitely also go on my social media and see all of the awesome designs that I post from him. One of those designs, hopefully, that I will be getting myself soon is the Bizarre Encounters design, where it's called Bizarre Combat, and it's essentially a parody of Mortal Kombat with Ghost and I as Mortal Kombat characters and all of the other playable characters as cryptids. Definitely a cool design. Joe's awesome for putting it together, and we definitely appreciate it over on Bizarre Encounters. So, you know, give it some love, man. Go and check out the design at least. And, you know, if you're a Mortal Kombat fan, I definitely think you'll appreciate it. But everything that I've mentioned, I try to make it quick and easy, all available under one link tree. linktr.ee/inquiriesofourrealitypodcast. And if you'd like to check out all of the umbrella of all of the things that I do, you can check out the Open Minds Media link tree. And that one is linktr.ee/open_minds_media. And with that, welcome to the show, George Lunford. How's it going today, man?
Going good. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Glad we finally made this work. We had a little bit of a delay today due to the weather, but hey, we're here, we're doing it, and we're about to have an awesome show. So,
oh, yeah.
So I guess for anybody that isn't familiar with your work, why don't you kind of give them a rough idea about who you are and what you do?
Well, I'm just basically an old fat bald man who wants to tell some stories that everybody should hear. I mean, the book is called Legends, Myths, Monsters, and Ghosts, the USA edition. And what I've done is I've gathered stories from every state so that make sure everybody has something to hear about their state. There's 7 to 8 stories per state. Also included 5 of the Indian tribes, which those are awesome. They're actually better than the regular ones are. But, there's just really cool stories. It's got everything from ghosts to cryptid creatures to UFOs to crazy people to serial killers, you name it, it's in there.
So what kind of inspired you to start collecting these stories and writing everything out?
Well, see, when I was young, the older people would tell us the stories. They'd just, you'd be sitting around on a Saturday night and they'd start just telling stories about the area. And of course, being the adventurous children we decided to go out and check them out. And I think everybody needs to do that. I think it'd be fun for everybody to do, especially now that you get all the toys you can play with. You can do the ghost boxes and you can do all that fun stuff and really get them warm.
So what was some of the first places that you went and checked out, and how that ended up going for you, of course?
Well, one of the ones we went to is in my book. And I told the story as it was told to me. It's called Helen's Bridge. And the quick version of the story is that a woman named Helen, she was a single mom, her husband being killed in the war. It's in the 1800s. And she was outside hanging clothes, and there was food on the stove. Her daughter was upstairs playing. Well, the stuff on the stove basically went everywhere and the house caught on fire. And she turned around and she worked for a mansion. And it was across the bridge was the mansion that she worked at. Well, they all come running down and they all was trying to get the kid out of the house and put the fire out, and the fire department showed up. And she could see her daughter in the second story window. The last thing she seen was her hand in the window. And it just slid down and disappeared into the smoke.
Like something straight out of a scary movie.
And so she was extremely distraught. She was tore all to pieces. And they went in. They found her daughter was dead. So they got her back up to the main house that night, and they tried to calm her down. Everybody finally got her calmed down, they thought. And everybody went to bed. Well, she was still pretty messed up. So she got up, and she wandered back down. She seen the house, and she just, she was just overcome big time with this. She was just grieving and couldn't stop. So she tripped over something. She looked down. It was a rope. So she walked over to the bridge. She tied the rope on, tied it around her neck, and jumped off. The next day, they got up, and they found out that she wasn't there, and they started looking for her, and they found her hanging on the side of the bridge.
Is this, like a proven story, or is it like a local folklore story?
Yes and no. Some people say that it's true. Some people say that it ain't. I don't know. I know there's people here that knew her, that knew Helen. So I don't know if it really happened or not. I know when you go up there, it used to be real bad, but there's things happen. Car won't start. There's orbs. I've seen the full body apparition. I've been chased by the fireball. I mean, there's some interesting stuff happens up there.
Was this at the bridge or the house itself?
This was below the bridge where everything happens. You can't really get on top of the bridge. It's in such bad shape now. Nobody goes up on top because there's nothing left. But everything below the bridge, when you look up, you'll see a picture in the book. My wife took it, a beautiful picture. And you can just feel it when you look at the bridge, the picture of the bridge.
What city was this?
Asheville, North Carolina.
Asheville, North Carolina. So I'm assuming that's your hometown. So I definitely love to hear some more of your hometown stories, because that seems to always be where the biggest heart is, of course, that I feel like, you'll have the most emotional tie to the stories. And of course, if you've checked out any of the locations, be it a cryptid sighting or UFO sighting or paranormal sighting, I definitely love to hear about it.
Well, I've been to another one that has in my book called Brown Mountain Lights. I've been there. I've seen the lights on the mountain. I tried to catch the lights on the mountain and couldn't. And we've watched them for hours moving around the mountain from the lookout. So you said there's a lookout here and on one side of them across a gorge, then you have the mountain. And you can watch the lights. They'll pop up, they'll move. But if you're on the ground where the lights are, you can't see the lights. At least I couldn't. And then I had a haunted high school, which was built on top of a graveyard that was supposedly moved.
Was it the Native American graveyard?
That was for the poor and the indigent people. They're not happy. They're not happy. They like to mess with you. But had a visit from my dead grandmother. I've had a ghost in my house. I had ghosts that would watch my children, watch over my children. And I lived in one place.
Was it ones that had to do with the house itself, or do you think it was like family members possibly?
It was the people who lived on the property where the house was put to house. I did some research and found that a family had died there with tuberculosis back in the early 1800s. And there was a mother, a father, a daughter, older daughter, like 17, 18 years old, and then a young boy about 10, 12 years old. They all died of tuberculosis. Well, the daughter was the one who had watched out over my kids. It was really cool because I walked in, my daughter was crying. When I walked in, I got up to walk in, check on her. I walked into the bedroom and you could hear this real low shh, 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 shh. And you could see the blanket moving up and down like somebody's patting it.
It's always fascinating when you have experiences with ghosts that aren't necessarily like scary ghosts. Like, if you came in, of course, and you saw that, and, some people may have a heart attack, of course, but majority of people, of course, especially if it's calming the baby, like, that's definitely, like, a weird experience. You don't hear about that too often.
She was a good one. I liked her. We called her Bertha. She was good. What was bad? One of the funny things that she did, me and my wife got divorced. We separated. I was in the house, and I had a girl over. Who was staying with me for a little while. Well, apparently Bertha didn't like her because she calls me at work and she is frantic. She's screaming into the phone. You can hear her bouncing off the walls. I had thrown about 10, 12 pennies on the table before I left. Just was in my pocket, so I didn't want it to be in my pocket, so I put it on the table. Well, Bertha was moving the pennies across the table, dropping them from the table onto the ground on their side. Then they would roll out, stop, turn 90 degrees, roll over, and fall over heads up.
That's some of that weird stuff that there's no explanation for that, you know, the rational mind, of course, will try to come up with some kind of weird explanation as to why that happened. But realistically, there's no way to explain that other than there's some kind of controlling factor, of course.
And everyone is perfect. She made a perfect circle. It was beautiful. She did a really good job. But the girl didn't last long after that. She kind of left. You know, I've had some interesting things happen. So, you know.
Said, of course, that's what has to spark all the fascination with all of the interesting, of course. I've always been a huge fan of cryptids, I guess you could say, in general. Where you're from in particular, do you have any like super popular cryptid lore or any that just in general that you really enjoy following that may be somewhat of like a hometown hero?
Well, honestly, we've been having more Bigfoot reports, which is surprising because we're there for a long time. No one ever said anything, but we've had a bunch of them here lately out towards a place called Franklin, North Carolina. It's on the other side of the Nantahala Gorge. And there's been all kinds of sightings out that way.
Do you know what kind of sightings exactly? Are they like visual sightings or vocal sightings or anything?
Visual, crossing the road, crossing the interstate. Because it's four lanes and it runs all the way across on two legs, come off the side of the mountain, crossed the interstate on two legs, and stopped and then jumped over the side and went down the mountain.
Is it still ongoing, or was it kind of just like a spot where it just kind of happened frequently for a minute and then it stopped?
Well, that happened, and then we had more encounters down by the high school. There was some encounter. There was some people seen down behind the football field in the woods. They've been, I mean, just sporadic, but there's been sightings all over that area, all the way over to the parkway and all that over here.
Have you ever had any sightings yourself?
No, but I'm dying to have one. I will see Bigfoot before it's over with.
I'm assuming that you probably collected a lot of fascinating stories, of course, about it. I don't know, maybe not necessarily pertaining to your area, but just out of your collection of stories, like what are some of the ones that you find to be the most fascinating pertaining to Sasquatch?
Oh, I can't. You know, one of the funny ones that I really got a kick out of was Momo over in Missouri. I mean, the Bigfoot, they hear it. This man and this woman are cheating on their spouses. They're sitting in this little parking area making out, and they hear it. So they're looking, and Bigfoot rises out of the water, stands all the way up, walks across in front of them into the woods. I mean, how do you explain that to the police? Well, I was cheating on my wife with this woman, and we seen Bigfoot.
He just took off out of the water, stared at me very disappointed, and went off into the woods.
They said what they could see was the outline of him and his eyes. They said the eyes were almost hauntingly yellow as he walked right in front of the vehicle, so they could see a perfect silhouette of him.
That's another one of those undeniable ones too, because especially if you're that close to it, you would know if it was a bear for sure. But it's hard to mix up the shape of a bear and a Sasquatch, considering one's more human-like, one's way bigger, one's less fat. But that's just always, of course, people just trying to rationalize it.
Oh yeah, and the funny thing was, they went to the cops. I mean, you don't go to the cops if you're cheating on your wife, unless it's something that scares the daylights out of you. So, they've been some good ones. We had one up here that was an interesting sighting back in the 70s. The guy that reported the sighting said he's seen Bigfoot coming. It ran beside his house, between his house and the building. He was within 10 feet of it, and it jumped over the fence and back up the side of the mountain.
So, of course, like you're definitely fascinated with extraterrestrials, paranormal, and cryptids, but of course everybody has their personal favorite. Where does your personal favorite kind of lie at that you seem to find the most fascinating, of course?
I got to tell you, in my book, it's one of my favorite stories in the entire book. It's called Robert the Doll.
Ooh, Robert.
And I'm sure you know about Robert. And he is actually on display in Key West. If anybody doubts it, they're welcome to go there and take a look at him.
You know what's funny, too, is I recently did a show about Robert not too long ago. It was back in October. And I thought it was kind of funny. Apparently, they have a social media account set up now for Robert so that people can, like, watch him on, like, a live stream and all that kind of stuff now. And I don't know if the intention's supposed to be that, you know, when people take pictures of him without asking and then they end up having to, like, ask for forgiveness for taking the picture. I don't know if the intention is that people can email him. But just in my opinion, I don't know about you, but when it comes to things like that in that paranormal realm, I feel like it wouldn't have the same effect as if it was like a handwritten personal letter going to him. So it's just, you know, trying to bring in the lore to the tech age, and you can tell it's 100% just for the entertainment aspect of it, but it's still fascinating all the same, though.
I don't think I'm going to take the chance. I really don't. I mean, anything possessed, I got to worry about.
See, I get worried, especially with those museums, too, that it's like, how seriously do the people that run the museum take it? Are they 100% people that fully believe in this stuff? And even if they are, it doesn't mean that every single employee is. So if you're trying to, like, protect a cursed item, I don't know. I feel like there's something that should be done every single time that case gets open. And I'm always get worried about somebody not doing everything correctly, exactly to the T, every time they open that case. And then you never know what you might end up taking home with you.
You ain't kidding. I don't think I'd want to take that chance. No, 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 no.
They just need to make a protective barrier around the building daily.
I will go see Robert the Doll, though. I want to see him up close and personal with his permission.
See, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think you just have to ask permission just to take his picture. But you can definitely stare at him all you want. Staring's free. Well, besides, of course, the museum cost.
Next time I go to Key West, I'm gonna go to check him out.
I know that there was the house that he was originally, I guess, associated with, because there was the guy that owned him that lived up in like the higher story of the house, and it wasn't until relatively, I want to say it was like the last like wasn't like 10, 15 years ago, that they actually moved him out of that house and into this museum. But before that, they had him straight up propped in the higher up window of that house. And I don't know, I feel like it would have been way creepier that way, especially if you went and came by at night and he like wasn't sitting in the chair, or if he was like moved a little bit.
Well, now they said that when they walked by, you could see him, but if you moved your eyes and looked back, he wouldn't be there again.
Say, there's something so much creepier too about the cork face that it's like no matter where you're standing, you feel like it's staring at you because it doesn't have the defined eyes, you know?
Oh Lord, I wanted to seem bad. I mean, the people that bought the house did donate him to the museum, and they donated some of the artwork that Gene had done. You know, he was a famous artist.
Have you ever been to that museum? Is it just Robert the Doll, or is it like about the town? It's like
it's all Key West history and memorabilia and all that, from what I understand. I haven't got to go yet.
So that would definitely be a really cool place to go. I've always been really paranoid about going to Key West just because of the way it demographically looks, with it being like a long strip of islands going into the ocean. Like, where do you go?
Well, I got lucky. I got to go when I was in the military. So, you know, it was a little different than I thought about it anyway.
At least you got enough stuff that you could probably protect yourself if there was any type of any disaster that came that way. If you're in the military and there's some kind of hurricane, they're probably trying to get you out of there before anybody else.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure.
So I guess, you know, with all of your collection of your stories, since it kind of came up in conversation, where are some of the places that you've actually gotten to, like, physically go and, like, collect stories from, I guess? Because, you know, some people, they kind of collect around their hometown, then they kind of collect through the internet. But have you actually had the opportunity to like physically go and collect stories anywhere?
On some of them. I've been to South Carolina and got stories there. The Cherokee stories I got firsthand because I work in Cherokee every month. Plus my wife half Cherokee. New Orleans, Louisiana, some of those I got from my wife and her family and some of those. And plus, we've been there several times. Honey Island Swamp, I've been down to the swamp, but not to go into the swamp yet.
So I'd love to get into some of the Native American stories that you referenced, because specifically I'm also Cherokee, so I always find the Cherokee stories fascinating. And I don't know if you have necessarily like the like monster folklore or just like the, I guess you could say, folklore stories that have to do with animals, but I find it all fascinating. So any stories that you have on Native American anything, especially Cherokee, I'd definitely love to hear them.
Well, the Cherokee, I have the Sukulu, I have Spearfinger, the Little People, the Raven Mocker, and one more? I think I have one more of them. I'm not sure. Let me look here real quick. I'll tell you. Yeah, my wife made sure that I had the Cherokee stuff in there. Okay, let's see here. Oh, I didn't put it in here. I didn't put it in the index. I think that's all of them. I'm not sure. I think the one that's really cool about the Cherokee, and I got this directly from some of the elders, is the little people. You know, most of them won't talk about the little people because they think that they'll get them. And I was talking to some of the elders, and we were going back and forth talking about the little people, and I talked to them about Spearfinger and the Sukulu and all that. But when they did some, I was told that when they did some excavation of our to build a new building, they found tunnels and little bones of the little people.
Is this Pukwudgies, or is this a totally different name and a totally different little people?
That is called the little people. The Pukwudgies is over towards Hawaii. I remember Hawaii. And yeah, they're just the little people, and there's different types of little people. You got the ones that are helpful, you got the ones that are mean, you got the ones that are mischievous. And they all can just switch back and forth whatever they want in the mood for at the time.
What do they seem to be as far as like Cherokee lore more often than not?
No, through the research and everything, I found out that they're actually maybe different names, but they're everywhere. They really are. I mean, Irish call them leprechauns. You got the Pukwudgie. I never can say his name right. I apologize. You've got, I can't remember what some of those names are. They call them gremlins. They call them just different things, but they all have the same description to them. So, I don't know. The Cherokee, they seem to hold them in pretty high regard, and they don't like to talk about them very much. They'll talk about Sukulu. They'll tell you the history of Sukulu. They'll tell you, you have to kind of pull it out of them about Raven Mocker, because Raven Mocker is like a harbinger of death. You got Spearfinger, and she's just plain out and out evil. I mean, you know, she eats kids' livers. So, I mean, she's not a nice person, okay? And then they talk about the elementals with the rock skin and all kinds of stuff. There's really some really great stories in the Indian tribe. Now, I call them Indians, not Native American, because every elder that I talk to, they refer to themselves as Indians, and I won't disrespect what they told me. So
that's always been a super mixed bag where I'm not exactly sure what to refer to it as, because I don't know which one's like a preferred term, I guess, because it all kind of ranges and depends on the person, of course. But I guess kind of going back into the little people concept that I've always found extremely fascinating, of course, it seems to be one of those kind of big cover-ups almost, kind of like the giants that the Smithsonian, every single time somebody finds little bones or giant bones, they seem to be on top of that ASAP. And as far as, like, you know, going into Cherokee lore, did they see the little people as like a lost tribe, almost like they kind of did the giants?
They seem to see them as almost like a, I don't really know how to describe it. They held them in really high regard and lots of respect and fear at the same time. And it's, I don't know how you would actually describe that, to be honest with you, but you can tell the difference because their whole attitude when you start talking about this stuff with them, like I've talked to one guy, he was telling me about his great, great, great grandfather was a wizard. And they had a magic stone from a place called Rattlesnake Mountain. And he went through this whole story about his grandfather, which was a really cool story, but I really didn't fit with what was in the book. I didn't use it. But each one you talk to, depending on who you talk to, they'll hold it in certain reverence, and other ones won't even speak about it. I had one guy, he walked away mad because he wouldn't speak about it at all.
Do you know any of the stories, like the folklore stories that are pertaining to them offhand by chance? Just like any like random little interactions or stories?
Well, there's a story about the Sukulu who he fell in love with an Indian maiden, and her mother kept coming up with different tasks that the Sukulu had to pass before he could see her daughter or go out with her daughter. And it's in the book, and there's a whole different bunch of different tasks that he does. Like he brings wood and chops it all up, but he's in the form of a person when he does it, but then he switches back. When she closes the door, he switches back to his Bigfoot form, and he's pulling trees up out of the ground and everything else. There's this really cool stories. I tell you one group of Indians that I wrote about that was really amazing to me. And they used more symbolism than anything else. That was the Hopi. The Hopi had long stories, and they used lots and lots of symbolism, and they actually pulled you into the story more than what the other Indian tribes did. But the other Indian tribes had such cool stories that you just enjoy reading them. I mean, they're just a lot of fun to read.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I say, I was digging into Spearfinger not too long ago, and I found that one definitely fascinating. I say, I have, like, a basic idea of the, I guess you could say the storyline for Spearfingers, but if you'd like to share the full story with the listeners, I'm sure they definitely would appreciate it if they haven't heard the story.
I can remember most of it, so I'll give you the 30,000-foot version. How's that sound?
If I remember any pieces in between, we can mash it together, and we can make one mashup story together.
Sounds good. There was a story that five of the little Indian children, along with one of those was the daughter of the chief. They're out in the woods and they were searching around and playing and having a good time. Well, they got lost, and they started getting scared and they started getting nervous. And out of nowhere, this older woman appears and starts calming down the kids, and they all start crying. She says, I'll take you back to my hut. Then we'll go get your family, and we'll get you taken care of, get you rescued. Well, all the kids were like, yay, and they all got real close to her, except for the chief's daughter. She didn't feel like there was something quite right over this. So they're walking back up through the woods to this trail, going up to her hut. They see the hut and they're getting ready to walk into the hut. Well, the little girl notices that one finger is longer than the other and it's really sharp on the end. So she hollers spear finger. And when she does, the kids all try to separate, but she gathers them all up and she misses the chief's daughter. And she takes off, she's running, and spear finger turns into her regular form, which is an elemental. She has granite skin, like rock. And she pulls the kids, gets them all in there, except for the one little girl. The little girl, she's running down a mountain, and she falls, and she trips, and she rolls down a hill, and she lands into a creek, and she looks up, and there's one of the braves. So she runs over to him, and she tells him what's happening. Well, the brave grabs her up, they take off, get back to the village, and they tell the chief what's going on. And the chief decides he's got to do something. He can't let Spearfinger have the children. So he goes to the medicine man. He talks to the medicine man and says, I want something that will pierce her skin. I got to stop her. I got to kill her. Medicine man looks and he works and he makes some stuff up. And he takes all the braves and brings them in and he dips all their arrowheads and spearheads into this potion that he created. Well, they all go back out as a hunting party. The little girl leads them back up And Spearfinger hears them coming. So she takes off. She takes off running because she hears this large band of warriors coming after her. So she's taking off and she's jumping from valley to valley and trying to get away from them. And she runs into one of the other elementals, Stone Man. She says, "I need your help. I need your help." He says, "No, you deserve this, and you must pay the price for your deeds." So he just walks away from her. Well, in the meantime, as the half the warriors are chasing Spearfinger, another half comes around the other side and they dug a pit. And they run Spearfinger over and she fell into the pit and they started shooting her with arrows. And you see sparks fly because you're hitting flint against granite, so it's sparking. And next thing you know, they look in there and she's dead. She's got arrows stuck in her. They actually penetrate her skin and she's dead. Well, they're all celebrating. They're all excited and real happy. And they take the little girl and they go back down. They go back to the hut. They save all the kids. They go back down to the village. But the chief just doesn't feel right. Something's not right, he thinks. So he sends two of the Braves back up to check and make sure Spearfinger's dead. The Braves go back up and look into the pit. She's gone. And they can hear her laughing as she goes over the mountaintop.
Say, the story that I heard was completely different than that one. Maybe it's the continuation of that story, because the story that I heard was like how they supposedly killed for good Spearfinger, which I don't know exactly how. Maybe it's kind of like a mix of that story in with another one that I heard, but essentially it was that they got her trapped into a pit. And once she was in the pit, there was a bird that came and was telling them to hit her in the heart. So they went to stab her in the heart, and they assumed, you know, the heart would be in, like, the normal place that, like, a normal human's heart would be, and it doesn't end up working. So they get mad, they kill the bird, and then a second bird comes and says something along the lines of that her heart's in her hand, and it's the closed hand with the spear, with the spear finger, and then they end up smashing that hand or stabbing the hand, shooting the hand, however the story goes, and then they end up killing her for good. But I don't know if it's like one of those things that it's just different tribes probably have different variations of the same story, and it's almost like a telephone thing, or if it is part of the same story, or, you know, it might be two separate stories.
I wonder if it's two separate stories, because most of what I found with the Indian tribes were that they stayed loyal to the story from the beginning to the end. Say, if you heard 30,000 years ago, somebody told the story, and now they're still telling the exact same stories what they were told before. So it may be a continuation of it. I haven't heard that one. That's pretty cool, though.
Say, if I can find where I found that one at, because it was in a book that I had. I believe it's called Something of the Wind, and it has like a bunch of Native American stories in it. If I can find it, I'll send it to you.
That's cool, because in the story that I had in the book, they actually had sightings of her. Over by Fontana Lake, where she crossed over the Nantahala Gorge into Fontana into Tennessee.
I'm sure if it's one of those things that if you track the stories, like I wonder if you can find like a trail of like where she supposedly traveled to. Because like depending on how like woo-woo you get, if you really break down what she is, I mean, she could be elemental or partly like a witch. And then there's enough, you know, witch lore, native or, you know, elemental lore that if you believe in any of that kind of stuff, like, I don't know, especially when it comes to like Native American tradition, it seems like there's a lot of stories that they'll tell just for the sake of trying to, you know, get a message across. But if there's a continuation of stories about her and it's not just pertaining to, you know, a weird woman in the woods, that's when it kind of clicks in my head. Maybe there's a little bit more to the story than what people are assuming there is.
I think so. She's a cool story. From what I understand, from what I read when I was doing all the studies and stuff, and from the people I talked to, now I don't know if she was ever real or not, but they're talking about there's still sightings of her.
Do you know where the last, you know, sighting may have been of her? Because I'm definitely curious if anybody's ever tried to really like track her down in recent years, or if it's just like Native American reservations possibly seeing her.
Well, I read of two different stories where she was spotted on off the trails between Nantahala and Fontana Lake.
Hmm. So I'll have to look into that one. I wonder if there's any photographic evidence, because I mean, it's always hard on the internet because everybody can do whatever they want with it. But that would definitely be an interesting one to see, though.
I would love to do an entire book just to Spearfinger.
And then,
because there's so much more there to it than what I had in my story. I only give the basic story in the book because, like I said, there's bunches of different ones.
There was another one that you mentioned. It was one that I don't think I've actually heard of before. You said it was the Harbinger of Doom?
Oh, the Raven Marker. Raven Marker is said to come if there's someone in the house that is sick and dying.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Raven Marker shows up.
Is there like a physical appearance for this? Because it almost kind of reminds me of like, just especially with that terminology that you use, almost like the Mothman type of like legend or concept.
Don't get started about the Mothman.
Because that, of course, links into a lot of Native American lore too, of course.
It also links into the Chernobyl accident.
Oh, you're talking about the Blackbird.
Blackbird of Chernobyl was the exact description of the Mothman.
So I guess from you collecting your stories, everybody kind of has their different idea, but like, what do you think it is? Do you think it's like a cryptid? Do you think it's almost like something more like supernatural? And I've also, of course, heard people entertain the idea of, this is kind of where I sit a little bit, but if there's a traumatic event that happens, it almost creates like a ripple in the veil, and then maybe stuff that's on the other side of the veil can temporarily come through, and that's kind of what you see an image of, but... Like I said, everybody has different ideas, and I'm definitely curious on what yours may be.
I like what you're saying, and I agree. I think it is something from a different dimension. But I think it is actually here to warn you. Look, something bad's about to happen in this spot. I'm warning you now, be careful, because, you know, every time it's been seen, there has been something bad happen in the area where it was seen at. You had the bridge up in West Virginia. You've had train accidents. There was a report of it right before, seeing it above the train before the train crashed. There was a Chernobyl and just a few other smaller accidents that had happened that it was actually spotted at.
For the one for Chernobyl, was it only spotted specifically before Chernobyl, like a one-off, one-site thing, do you know of?
No. There's multiple reports of it days before the accident.
Do you know any of the backstories on, like, where it was seen, like, what it was seen doing, anything like that?
I remember one where it was saw it flying a circle around the reactor, the smoke thing, the big smoke steam.
Big reactor.
Yeah. It seems it's circling that. Said it circled it three times. They counted it. And then it disappeared. But then it was seen for two more days. And then the last time it was seen was the night before the actual meltdown.
When, also when it comes to the one that's in Native American lore that you were referencing, was there stories that you know of before, like a traumatic event that people refer to it as, so that it would kind of have the same lore throughout all three? But then the only part that's a little bit off and weird is the fact that it's clearly not just specifically Native American lore if it's seen over in Chernobyl. Like, it's something beyond that, but of course it incorporates into Native American lore.
I still lean towards, like you said, the dimensional thing. I don't think that there's any, when you're crossing the dimension, I don't think there's any sense of time on this side compared to that side. It can come over and it may be the 1800s here, or it may be the 2000s, or it may be the 3000s when it comes over. There's no differential. It's not able, it can cross regardless of time. That's my thoughts of it.
See, it makes you wonder too if these creatures, if they're like conscious of what they're doing, like they know that they're like forewarning people, or if it's kind of just one of those things that they're just like around, like maybe they're, I don't know, something that theoretically will like take souls away or move them somewhere else. Like, I'm curious if they have a purpose in it, and if they're like conscious of their purpose, or if it's just kind of one of those things where they're just like, you know, if there is a thinning of the veil, they just kind of walk through it and they're like, oh, well, I guess I'm here for now. And then they just get pulled back.
Now, I don't know about most of them, but I will say it seems like from the stories that the blackbird, it wants to be seen. I mean, it shows itself in broad daylight. It shows itself where you can see the, you know, outlines of it or else. It don't try to hide. It doesn't seem like it. Because it was clear visible on some of the pictures before the bridge went over. It was clear and visible to workers and family members when it was at Chernobyl. And that train accident where it was seen, if I'm not mistaken, the conductor actually seen and had wrote down in the log that he had seen this creature. I'm trying to remember. I got so many stories in my head, it's hard for me to keep everything straight. Because I'm writing another book that comes out in hopefully February or March called Monsters of the World. And in that book, I'm doing like 15 or so monsters from every continent. So there's seven continents, and I'm giving you all kinds of, plus I'm giving you encounters that people have sent me personally to put in the book. I've got three encounters in England. I've got one encounter in Australia, and I've got like six or eight encounters in America that people have sent me. I'm not changing any of the words. I'm just putting their encounter in the book to let people enjoy.
I say, I'd definitely like to hear about some of these, at least some of the lesser known ones that you'd be willing to share to kind of spark a little bit of interest and get people to want to go and look out for your book.
Well, and now half the ones in Africa, no offense, but I can't pronounce them.
Hey, that's why you write a book. You just got to put down the word. It doesn't mean you have to pronounce it.
Africa has some really cool ones. They've got giant snakes. They've got dinosaurs. I've got dragons in there from China. Then I have the history of them. I have descriptions. I've got the Kappa in Japan. He's kind of a pervert.
Yeah, I was going to say that one I've always found weird and fascinating with. He's very proper, and you have to try to get him to bow to spill the water on the top of his head for him to lose his power. But his whole intention is that he wants to pull your soul out of your butthole.
He likes to watch the young ladies swim nude under the waterfall.
And then you got the mixed lore with the cucumber, that some believe that the cucumber keeps him away and others believe that it makes him come. So, you know, you got the mixed lore where some people eat a cucumber before they go swimming. Some will keep a cucumber in their pocket so that they can throw it off if a kappa comes towards them.
Yep. And there's some this really cool ones. I've got Dogman in there. I've got Old Shuck, Black Shuck up in London. Or England, I should say. And I actually have a report of that one. I have a guy who saw it. He kept calling it a dog man, but from his description, it looked like Old Shuck with the black dog with red eyes. A giant black dog with red eyes.
Is it bipedal, and, too? Because I hadn't actually heard of this one personally.
No, Old Shuck is like a supernatural giant wolf, almost like a dire wolf type thing. It's solid black and got red eyes. And it stays in all fours. But there's some really cool stories. I want you guys to check that one out, especially the people who were nice enough and generous enough to give me their encounters. They will all be listed in the book. And I have their exact words. I ain't changing nothing. Out of respect for them and what they want to tell. And you're going to find some good stories in there. You're going to have some real good ones about Bigfoot. One guy I talked to, Bigfoot come up to his tent at night. And he knows that because he heard it, and he got up the next morning. There was an 18-inch print beside his tent, and it was about 8 inches wide.
I can only imagine how horrifying it would be to be outside, just a tent. Like, you feel like you have some type of protection, like it's some kind of shelter, but realistically it's like a blanket with some sticks that's being held up. Like, just imagine having something like that right outside of your tent, even if it's not necessarily something that's trying to hurt you. Just the whole concept of having anything that close outside of a tent is horrifying, especially because you can't go anywhere. Like, there's one way out of that tent unless you cut a hole out of the back, but anything that's in the front of the tent can get right around the back just as quick.
And you're dealing with a creature that can pull a tree out of the ground by its roots, turn it upside down, and stick it back in the ground. I mean, you got to worry about that one a little bit.
You just got to hope that it's not one of the young ones trying to show off. Hope they tangle with one of the older guys that'll just leave you alone.
Yep. Look at you go, and walk off. I'm really hoping that people will just enjoy the books. That's the reason I'm writing them. I want people to have a good time and just get all this crazy world off their mind for a little bit, short period of time. You know,
get some other craziness, but a good kind of craziness in your life.
I had one of the, I did another podcast interview, and the guy referred to my book. He said, "No offense, but you have a toilet book." I said, "What do you mean a toilet book?" But it's great. You sit on the toilet, you got short stories to read.
Those are my reference books.
I can't even argue with that one.
So I guess a really good question is, off of your new book, just to kind of get people, again, kind of sparked a little bit of interest, if you had to pick one of your absolute personal favorite story, I guess, in your old book and in your new book you're working on, because I'd love to get two stories in here. What is your personal favorite story in both?
Oh, I don't know about the new one because I'm not finished with it yet. So I can't tell you a great one out of the new book yet. I don't know all of them. I know I can tell you there is a Bigfoot type creature in every country. And he varies per country. like Yeti smaller than Bigfoot is, or Sasquatch, and has a whole different attitude to him. He's a lot more aggressive for a little guy, little 6-7 foot tall. And then you got, oh man, there's so many cool ones, because all these stories are awesome, because they're creatures that I have never really thought about. And then I started researching them. Like, I started looking into the Banshee from the Irish tales and stuff. I've actually got Loch Ness Monster in there. I've got, I had to put leprechauns in. I couldn't help myself. And I even put, they're not monsters, but I went ahead and threw in, I can't believe I'm doing this. I threw in the little guy, the little gnomes. I can't help it. I like gnomes, okay?
I was going to say, in all fairness, though, I feel like they would more so be in the same category as, like, little people rather than, like, leprechauns. Like, leprechauns are looked at a little bit more goofy because they have the gold, all that kind of stuff. But, like, realistically, gnomes and fairies and little people, I feel, all kind of exist in the same place. It's all kind of, you know, the fae, I guess you could say. And at least just speaking from, like, a... like, ones that make the most sense to me, I feel like gnomes would definitely make sense, because realistically, they're the fundamental engineer workers of nature. So, I mean, every like, folklore kind of has some kind of reference to them. It's all just different names for the same stuff. But I feel like easily gnomes could be the same as little people or puckwudgies.
Okay, I got you. I agree with that 100%. I really do. I think it's some really cool ones to tell you about. I got a question for you. Do you believe in unicorns?
See, that's a mixed bag on that one, because it's a very practical to exist animal. So that being said, I don't necessarily know if there's any that exists now, but I definitely see that there could have been times in history where something like that has existed. And especially if it was a horse that had some kind of, I mean, you got to think about how many times we've hunted things into extinction just to get their horns. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if there was some kind of horse that had some kind of fancy horn that people hunted into extinction thinking that it had some type of magical property to it. And then that's where all the folklore comes in with it, of course.
Well, there was a unicorn mentioned in the King James Version of the Bible, and then it was changed later on. But it was referred to as a donkey-like creature, a mule-like creature with a single horn. But there is today, there is truly a unicorn creature out there. Now, I didn't say horse. I said creature. It's called a unicorn goat. They have a single horn that grows out of the top of their head.
Is it like a bone horn, or is it like one of the like hair horns where it's like, you know, the really thick, coarse hair that almost becomes bone-like?
Now, that I don't know. I believe it's horn. Like, instead of growing the curled up horns like a ram grows, these things actually grow straight out of the center of their head, and they're mountain goat type creatures.
Say, I hadn't actually heard of that one before. That's definitely something I'm going to have to look into, just to even get like a visual on it. It definitely sounds interesting, because the animal kingdom is just as fascinating as cryptozoology.
I'll try to send you a picture if I can remember it when we get off here. But I always ask everybody that, because it's so funny to look on people's faces when you ask them. Then you go, well, there is a unicorn. And they're looking at you like, you've lost your mind.
See, I didn't say horse-like.
That's right. I did not. But there are so many creatures out there that we don't know of and so many that we do. I mean, we talk about – I'll give you an example. Right here in Western North Carolina, in just two state parks that we have here, there is over 1 million square acres of nothing but woods. That's just in two of them. We've got, I think, 4 or 5 total. But in just those two parks, that much area, and people think that we've been everywhere. Well, I can tell you right now, in most of that property, people haven't gone there, haven't gone to some of those spots, because I know hunters that are still finding spots they've never been before, and they've been hunting 40 and 50 years.
Is that one of those places with cryptid mountain lions that, you know, they're there, but nobody wants to recognize that they're there?
Yeah, it is. And that I know because we could sit at my grandmother's house when they were alive and I was little, and we could hear them up on the mountain. It's just like a woman screaming. It'll make the hair on the back of your neck stand up.
I would say I've seen a cougar unintentionally that wasn't supposed to be in the area, but I can only imagine, like, knowing that there's a bunch of them out there in the dark. At least I knew I was in a safe area seeing the couple that I've seen.
There you go.
One particular time, I was at a hotel, and I was up on the second-story balcony, and it was late at night, and I looked down over the edge, and I'm like, there's a big brown cat, or a big tan cat down there. Like, it's a good thing I'm not on the first story, otherwise I would have walked face-to-face with this guy.
That's funny. I can't imagine. I've never seen one, I mean, out in the wild, up close. I've seen them at the zoo and stuff, but I couldn't imagine running into a big cat like that in the wild.
And it was one of those things, too, where it's just like you walk out of the back door and you're not really thinking about anything. So you would have been face-to-face like, yeah, let's go back.
Oh, Lordy. But man, there's so many things out there people don't have a clue about.
Say, so we've kind of touched base on at least a little bit of paranormal, a little bit of Native American lore, and a little bit of cryptids. I definitely would like to touch base on some of the stories that you've got pertaining to aliens and and UFOs, too, because that one's always a fun topic to talk about.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, these two sightings right here are not in the book. These are my personal sightings. We were out in the middle of it. I was in the Navy. I was on an FFG, which is a fast frigate guided missile ship. Not a big one. we were out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean going from here to overseas. I won't say where, but anyway, we was going overseas. And I was on aft lookout. Seems to be where I'm always at. I don't know why. But I was on aft lookout, and the forward lookout calls back to me, "What's that light on the port side?" And he gave me an idea where it's at. He said about 8 miles out because the horizon's 10 miles. He could see it was just inside the boat. So I pull up binoculars. I'm watching this thing. And I said, I have no idea what this is. And we were called into combat systems. They had nothing on radar, nothing on anything. And it looked like a conning tower for a submarine, except it was above the water. There was no water disturbance. And this thing is you can see the lights really well, and it looked kind of like a round dish, and it's going back and forth. As we're moving, it's moving almost to keep pace with us, but still going back and forth, almost like it's in a search pattern. So we're watching it. We watch it about 5 minutes, and all of a sudden it gets super bright, and all of a sudden, it's gone. And the guy calls back and said, "I didn't see nothing. How about you?" I said, "I don't see nothing either. Bye."
That was about to be my next question, was what they were saying it was after that, or if it was just one of those, "I saw nothing. I don't know what the hell you're talking about."
Exactly. And then the second one, me and my beautiful wife was flying back from Chicago. We're above the clouds. We're at 30,000 feet. I remember because that's what the pilot said was that. And my wife looks over and she says, "What is that?" Now look, and there is a silver tube, like a cigar. What, just probably 15 miles from the airplane. We can see it. It's as clear as day. And there's no wings. There's no tail fin. It's just a big silver cigar in the air. And we're watching it, and she bends down to get her phone so she can get a picture. And this thing lights up, and it's gone. It just disappeared. So I don't know what it was.
It seems like the classic cigar shape, like you were saying. And it's gotten to a point now where I feel like so many people have seen UFOs that it's an undeniable, like, fact of our reality at this point, even to the point where, like, the U.S. governments are like, "Oh, yeah, so we know nothing about these. They don't exist. But if you guys see anything, please let us know."
Well, now they're to the point where they say, okay, yes, there's UFOs, but don't worry about it.
Just tell us anything that you know and any videos that you have, send it to us, but it's all good. We got it.
we're watching them. It's like, yeah, well, we are too, apparently. the best UFO tales in my book is probably the ones up around the Bridgewater Triangle.
Ooh, yeah, definitely there's, sparks a lot of interest up in Bridgewater Triangle.
there's some about Mount Rainier, because there's been lots and lots and lots of sightings about Mount Rainier. And I'm trying to think where the other ones were. But I actually went in and investigated and wrote down some of the sightings of the UFOs in my book.
Did you end up getting any stories or collecting any stories of actual like alien, like physical aliens themselves by chance?
Not yet. A friend of mine told me that I need to do an entire book just of encounters.
Oh yeah, easily. And you could easily do an abduction book, even just off of like one person's abduction experiences. More often than not, they seem to happen a couple times through life. You can make a full book out of some, just one particular person's experiences.
Well, I've got a friend that I've been talking to about since I've been doing the research. He actually did an interview with me. I won't mention his name. He's a great guy. Fantastic. And he's had, I mean, countless encounters. They come into his house with reptilians and grays. I mean, he's had all these reports, all these things happen to him. And I don't doubt him, because he has so much passion in his voice when he's talking about it. It's almost like you're there with him. He can describe every single detail about them.
Are you planning on adding some of his stories into some of your upcoming books?
If he allows me to, I will. Yes.
So that would definitely be a really cool one to read about. It fascinates me more than anything when it comes to UFOs in particular, for people to have abduction stories and for people to have like contact with them, because more often than not, you hear about them having these like conversations with them, and they'll give pieces of information that are just, they don't seem like they make sense at the time. Then all of a sudden everything starts to like make sense. And when it comes to those stories, that's always like my standing point on them, is like, how do people know these things before they happen? Or how do they get these little like snippets on the future and what's going to happen? It could potentially be something in your head, but it still at that point would be some type of psychic ability still, you know, like there's still some kind of like otherworldly connection when it comes to all that kind of stuff.
The information got there somehow.
Exactly. Be it through little green men or be it through a projection of little green men, it still got there.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, that's one thing I do want to see. I do want to see an alien. I do want to see Bigfoot. And I will, before it's over with, I will see both. If I have to hunt them down, I will see both of them up close and personal.
People may not believe me, but at least I'll know.
We'll see when I prove Bigfoot's existence that I was right. I'll have Bigfoot's, my theory of what Bigfoot is in my book. Now, I don't know if a lot of people agree with me, but everything that I read seems to match up with what he is. And I think they're the descendants of the giants.
That's definitely a theory that I've always entertained. That one, and that they're, I don't want to say like a missing link, but like another like offshoot of like we may be related somewhere down the line, but there's some type of like diverging factor.
Right.
But well, I mean, it would still, I guess, kind of fit with giants too, because the giants would have had that diverging factor of, you know, the giant gene, whatever it happened to be. And if they were mixing with, let's see, giants and something that maybe has like less hair, like starting to like, I don't know, I guess you could kind of get the genes all mixed in there, and potentially like half of what a Bigfoot's DNA could be the same as a giant's DNA.
Yeah. Well, see, the reason I lean towards the giants, and most of the Native American or the Indian tales, they talk about when they come over the land bridge from Asia. When they come over the land bridge, they ran into the white-eyed giants here in America. The Choctaw and everybody talks a lot about it. And they were afraid of them because they were cannibals. And when they attacked them, they talked about how they killed off the giants. I don't think they killed them all off. I think that they, some of them escaped. And they escaped into like the Mammoth Cave system, which is the largest cave system in the world that we know of. And if they go into the mountain, if they go into that, like I believe, then they could have evolved or de-evolved, I guess you could say, into what Bigfoot is now. Because everyone who talks about seeing Bigfoot out in person or through a scope talks about they can't pull the trigger because his eyes are human.
That would definitely explain the evasiveness too, because if they got hunted into extinction because of their views and beliefs, that would totally make sense on how they're thinking from almost like a human standpoint to know to avoid humans.
Yep. And out like at the Lovelock Caves, they found the giant bones and they found the shoes, the sandals and stuff that some of the giants had wore. Well, they took a casting from Bigfoot and it fit perfect into the sandal. Like it was made for it.
See, I often wonder if what we're looking at is the giant sloths, Sasquatch, and giants. All three of those may possibly be the same things. And if you're looking at remnants of their skeletons, they could all essentially look the same too. And just another perspective of looking at it too, there's different races of people. Those could all be different races of essentially giant human-like beings.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%.
And they all could have adapted for different reasons, of course, too.
Well, through every religious text, everything that goes back in that period of time, all mention giants. All the texts, all the biblical properties, you know, even the Bible, the Quran, the what is it called? Mysticism, Jewish mysticism book. It goes into the Hindus. It goes into the Muslims talk about the giants. All of them talk about the giants at one time or another. And it's really prevalent in Enoch.
I was going to say, and it's super taboo in the United States because it's Smithsonian trying to hide all of the giant skeletons, but you go down to South America, and from what I've heard, you can go to museums, and there's giant skeletons everywhere.
Oh, yeah. They also have mutant skeletons. They've got a skeleton I was reading about earlier that actually has bones growing out of its head. It's a human face with bones growing out of the skull.
That makes you wonder if it's a mutation or if it's a totally different species or if it's another possible like half mixed breed that wasn't like fully finished, because when it comes to a lot of this stuff, I feel like there was definitely some type of interjection to how the DNA worked out. Cause I don't think it would have naturally like worked the way that it did in the periods of time that it did work out the way it did, of course, too.
Yeah. Well, you've got our history has been so diluted and so changed and everything else. We went to see the Ark encounter. And at the Ark encounter, they talk about one of the reasons God brought the flood was because of the giants. They were the Nephilim. They were the children of the fallen angels. And that's one reason that the flood was brought to the world was to help get rid of the Nephilim.
And then, of course, there still would have been some type of remnants, of assumably. And then if they would have continued on with their DNA, it could almost like hide the DNA into smaller variations where, you know, we could be thinking of like biblical giants being like this height, but there could still be a descendant of a giant that may only be like 6-7 foot high. But just because of DNA, it trying to hide its DNA, possibly mixing with other breeds of or other types of humanoid beings in order to keep its DNA alive. Like who knows what could have happened down the line. We're honestly just guessing, but there's definitely enough solid evidence that I feel like it's not even like a question of whether or not giants existed. Like they did definitely exist at some point.
Well, they exist today. I mean, the definition of a giant is 7 foot or taller human. And you've got NBA players that are over 7 foot tall. You had Andre the Giant. The tallest man in the world right now is 9 foot something.
Have you dug into the story about the soldiers in Afghanistan finding the giant in the mountains?
I did. It's in the book. No, it's in the Mother New book.
See, that's definitely one that fascinates me. And it's like, I don't know, I really, really wish that there was some type of not just the like worded stories, but some type of photographic evidence or some kind of like audio recording, like something to go with it. Cause it's like one of those tales that it's like, you want to believe it, but there's just so much up in the air about it. But at the same time though, if you do believe in the whole giant concept, it definitely makes sense that in the middle of Afghanistan, there would be a giant hiding and coming after people with a spear. And correct me if I'm wrong too, but I believe that they said it was like a 15 foot tall giant.
Had six fingers and six toes.
Yep.
Yep. Red hair, fiery eyes, big teeth. And the one I heard tell about it was supposed to be one of the guys who was actually there. He was telling the story, the one that I heard. Now, I don't know if the guy was really there or not. I can't prove he was. I can't prove he wasn't. So, you know, but I can't help but believe it. I mean, you've got places in Afghanistan that the natives there won't go. And they'll tell you, no, we ain't going there because it's taboo. Mm-hmm. That was one of those places that they went that was supposed to be the Afghans and stuff avoided it like the plague.
Hey, I bet you they're there now. Now that they know that it's safe and clear.
Yeah. They probably using that cave, but there's so many things out there. I think you have to be naive not to believe in some of the stuff, maybe not all of it. But when you look at, I mean, they find almost 1 million new species every year that is not supposed to exist. The guy that found there's this elephant that was really rare and everybody said it didn't exist. Well, this scientist was down there in Africa looking for it. He had looked all over Africa. He looked in all the plains. He looked everywhere trying to find this elephant. And so he was in there talking to the chieftain of one of the tribes, and he mentioned it, and it walked behind him. The chieftain looked at him and pointed at it. You know, there they are. And there it was. There was a whole herd of them walked right behind him, and he had been searching all over Africa trying to find this thing.
Makes you wonder, too, how many species are, because as the chain of life goes along, there's species that'll come to be, and then there's some that die out, and then there's new ones that come to be. It makes you wonder how many species that are just now coming to be that we, again, still haven't discovered yet, because they're just in the starting stages of developing to become whatever species they're going to become.
Yeah, and I agree. And you've got a good example of that is the Tasmanian tiger.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to have been completely wiped out. And there was a zoologist down there, and he went to check one of his cams and had a video of a Tasmanian tiger walking by it.
That's kind of like it falls by, kind of like the mountain lion concept of the United States, that they don't want to acknowledge that these species exist in these areas, for one. Because then they have to, it's a whole thing with paperwork. You gotta go and you gotta, you know, make sure that they're there for sure. On top of the fact that a lot of these things are invasive species in the aspect of like, they're taking out farm life. So right. I feel like they'd rather be like, yeah, those don't exist. And then they can shoot them and get rid of them if they're going to take out any of their livestock.
Yeah. I think you're probably right.
But as soon as you acknowledge that there's extinct animals living in that area, then, yeah, no, they can take out as much of your livestock as you want. You can't do shit about it.
Yep, you're exactly right.
So I guess starting to get towards the end here now, I always like to leave with words of wisdom before we get into, you know, where everybody can find you and stuff at. So if there's any words of wisdom you could bestow on the listeners, what might it be?
Well, I think my main thing, and this is just what I tell my kids and everything too, is don't be closed off to different creatures. There's a lot out there we don't know of. There's a lot of unknown area in the world still, even though there's too many people here. There are so many areas and there's so many things that are, keep your mind open and go find it. Go check these things out. Go enjoy time with your family looking for ghosts, looking for Bigfoot, looking for Dogman. Just go out and enjoy your area, enjoy your town, and keep your mind open to what could be out there. It's always much funner what could be than what it really is.
Truth. I was going to say, and at the root, humans are explorers, so let yourself go and explore.
Oh, I like that. That's good. I might use that.
Got to add on to a little extra touch.
I'll start your name in there with it, but I'll still do it. Yeah.
So for anybody that's enjoyed the conversation and they definitely want to go and check out your books, where can they come and find you and where can they find your books at? And also, just a little additive part, if there's anybody that would like to share some stories with you, where might they be able to do that at also?
They can get me at Facebook. I'm on Facebook. I have 3 different pages on Facebook. You can get me on Instagram, MeWe, Tumblr, or you can just go to my website, author georgelunsford.x10host.com. And my book, you can get on Amazon.
Quick and easy. And of course, I'll include all of the links too. So if anybody wants to go and check anything out, it'll be just one click away. Make it quick and easy for you.
And I appreciate that very much. It's been a great talking to you. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, same here. And I can't wait to have our next interaction and have our next conversation, because I definitely would love to have you come back on and we can talk about your next book when you get a little bit more rolling with it.
Yeah, get a little bit more into it. I've been kind of slacking. I've got to take some days off work so I can actually get the book finished.
I know that one all too well. It's like there's not enough time in the day to do what you want to do, but you still got to do your normal life stuff. So it's like you got to force yourself to make some time. But yeah, I know that battle all too well.
I truly understand. And I greatly appreciate it very, very much. And I hope people will reach out. I hope I'm open enough and fun enough to make you want to reach out, talk to me about this stuff.
So you're definitely an inviting character. That's how I ended up actually contacting you, was a shout out to Bo from the Bump Podcast. I heard your guys' great conversation, and you seemed like a really entertaining guy to talk to. So that's why I ended up making this happen. So I'm sure that the listeners will feel the same.
I hope so. I really do.
If anybody would like to be a guest on the show, if anybody is interested in sponsoring the show, if anybody has a topic that they would like discussed on the show or a guest that they would like to see on the show, or in general, if you feel you can contribute anything to the show at all, even a great conversation that will spark weird little fascinations in my head that I will look for new topics to go on to, anything at all, just stop by, have a conversation. I definitely want to hear from all you guys in any way, shape, or form. I want your guys' opinions on everything, of course, too. You can go and message me on Instagram. That'd probably be the fastest way to get a hold of me. You can also email me under the Inquiries of Our Reality Podcast email, which is inquiriesofourrealitypodcast@outlook.com. And if you want to make it a little bit easier on yourself, you can go to the link tree, and up at the top, there's a submission form. And there you can type whatever you want to say and send it over to me, and it'll go directly to my email. And then you'll just have to look out for my emails. And unfortunately, a lot of mine go to the spam folder, so definitely keep an eye on the spam folder if you have messaged me recently, or if you messaged me a couple months ago and you don't think I got back to you, go and check your spam folder, because for whatever reason my stuff seems to go there. But yeah, everything that I've mentioned, all available under one link tree, linktr.ee/inquiries of our reality podcast. And if you're trying to check out the full umbrella of everything that I do over at Open Minds Media, that one is linktr.ee/open_minds_media. And with that, I hope you guys enjoyed the show, and I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good night, everybody.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.